at the news and we look at the headlines, we look at what's going on all across the world, domestically in the United States, throughout North America, and then the larger scope all across the world, you think none of this is random. At least not in my view, it's not random. And many times, conservatives especially, sometimes Christians, and oftentimes the blend of conservative Christians, frequently, we forget sometimes that God is in control. I happened just very briefly to watch, and I don't know how I ended up here. I watched a segment, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. The only reason I bring him up is he had given a breakfast invocation on Inauguration Day at the Capitol in Washington, D.C. And somehow, again, I don't know, it was on my office computer. It popped up, and it was about 15 minutes or 5 minutes into his invocation, or his speech, I should say. He was talking about President Donald Trump, who was going to be taking the oath in a couple of hours, referencing him as Cyrus. And I thought, wow, where have I heard this before? Well, Pastor David Lankford, the voice of evangelism, having said that long before Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. And the conversation also went and talked about how God uses national leaders, uses the average person as well. I mean, look at us. We don't belong here. Okay. And the person being used does not, you know, it's not necessary for that person to know God, because God knows that person. But it's what Pastor David Lankford has been talking about. And that just perked my ears up. I just wanted to mention that. A couple of things before we bring Pastor David Lankford on from The Voice of Evangelism. And make sure, folks, if you haven't done so already, go to thevoiceofevangelism.com. Take advantage of all of the media. I highly recommend that multimedia Bible. Oh, is that fantastic? Put the DVD in with your wife. And, this is a sales pitch. Let me tell you, it is enriching. It will enrich you, inform you, teach you the Bible. Stand by here for a second here.
Okay. You know, I would wonder how can that be a coincidence? Both times, only when you're doing that.
Yeah.
Does the video section crash, which crashes our BTR feed temporarily. It'll be back up momentarily. Global Star is running fine.
Pastor, hang in there for a second. Technical problems.
I wonder right. If there isn't a keyword in there that somebody doesn't.
What did I say, Obama?
I don't know.
Okay.
It is insane. You're talking about a coincidence.
In case you're wondering what this mess is, we're having a conversation with Eric the Tech.
They don't want people to get life insurance.
Well, not just that. There's some other issues here. But nonetheless, so Pastor David Lankford is coming on momentarily. Since we balance out we had a software system crash that basically took out a couple of key platforms. So we're going to bring and I apologize to Pastor David Lankford for this mess. This is the second time this evening that this happened, and we apologize for it. Okay. We're actually going through a countdown right now. So, having said that, while you're waiting there, or while we're waiting here, I would urge everyone, please, and you're responding to this call to action, we appreciate this, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It is important. The show that we did last night, the second it was over, we received a notice, basically not eligible for monetization, meaning that it did not meet community standards. Why? Because we talked about the current events as they related to certain individuals within the government. We had Angela talking about Pizzagate. We had Sean from the SGT report talking about John Podesta, his findings with that. So anyway, the assault, the war on conservative news tellers, truth tellers, is really ablaze. Before, one more thing before we get to Pastor David Langford, and this is, I mentioned earlier about Policy Genius. If you don't have life insurance, nearly about 35% of Americans, U.S. families, 35 million, I'm sorry, U.S. families have no life insurance, zero. That's 30% of U.S. households. That's according to recent studies. And most Americans think life insurance costs two to three times more than it really does. Folks, I want to direct you to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com. P-O-L-I-C-Y, genius, G-E-N-I-U-S.com. There you can save over 40% off other prices for life insurance. When life insurers compete for your business, you save money. Folks, we have tested this out, and we have seen, compared to what I had, even at my age, my son, Eric the Tech, the comparisons, saving anywhere between, I'm going to say, about 6% to upwards of roughly 30% in our personal situation using Policy Genius. It pays to use policygenius.com. Folks, go to policygenius.com. That's P-O-L-I-C-Y, genius, G-E-N-I-U-S, all together, policygenius.com. There you will have zero jargon, no sales pressure, no hassle. It's life insurance made easy. And while you're there, check out the other products they have, including pet insurance. That's right, pet insurance.
And don't think because you're young, you don't need health insurance.
That's right. So don't waste any more time. Don't wait. Go to policygenius.com. All right. Now I think we have our technical snafus worked out. Joe?
Yes, we do. And our guest, thank you for your patience, Pastor David Langford from thevoiceofevangelism.com, also the Voice of Evangelism on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to the show.
It's a great joy to be with you guys tonight. And as always, the enemy does not want the truth shed abroad the hearts of the people listening.
Boy, you got that right, brother. Yeah, we know we're in trouble when Eric the Tech, his hat goes flying, and you know, his arms go waving, and he's making stretching moves with his hands. And anyway, So what's on your heart tonight, Pastor?
I want to talk about discrimination.
Okay.
You know, we're hearing a lot of fake evangelicals talking about taking in the immigrants, the illegal immigrants, that Christ would not do this. But it just shows you the ignorance of Christianity and what Christ expect. I want to go to Revelation 21. I'm not going to read all of the verses, but I want to kind of set a stage here. Because what does the word discriminate mean? It means to make a difference in treatment or in favor on basis other than individual merit. And Jesus, in Matthew 10:34 through 36, he said, "Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Jesus does discriminate. Revelation 21, beginning at verse 10, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall," "and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." That just lets you know God's not through with Israel, folks. Everyone who's preaching replacement theology, you don't know your Bible. And yes, Pastor Langford said that, not to be arrogant, but God's going to bring the Jews and the Gentiles together when he erased this city called New Jerusalem. And that's why he's going to put the 12 tribes, the names of the 12 tribes, on those 12 gates. And on the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. On the west, three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So he's going to take the 12 names of the tribes of Israel, engrave them on New Jerusalem. Then he takes the 12 apostles of the Lamb and engraves them on the foundations, and thus he reconciles both Jews and Gentile into one new being, which is his body, the church. But then we get on down here to verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light. Notice, which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, that whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Of course, the key here is your name must be in the book of life. Therefore, he has these 12 gates, and at the gates, he's got these angels. And, of course, they're going to monitor who gets in, who gets out. Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And so we're hearing all these fake Christians say, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus says, if you try to get in any other way than by me, you're nothing but a thief and a robber. John chapter 10, verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. We see these people always trying to climb the fences, cut holes in them, or whatever way to get through. And Jesus says, when you do that, you are a thief and a robber. And he said, you have to enter in by the door. And Jesus tells us, he is that door. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And the psalmist talked about in Psalms 23 how he leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness, etc., etc. And so when people, you know, are making these ludicrous statements that, you know, we shouldn't have to abide by the laws, we should let them all in, Jesus is the one that set boundaries. I think about his words in Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So he's making it very clear, you cannot get in just any way. The first record we have of gates is in Genesis 19:1, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. All cities had walls and they had gates. All countries have walls and gates wherein we enter into, and you know, God is the one that set the boundaries. Even Elohim, when he was making covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, he set the boundaries which he was going to have Abraham to inherit from the river Nile to the river Euphrates. And then in Acts 17:26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. The word habitation there in the Greek means their residence. So God marks the lines, the demarcations, the boundaries for everyone. And so when we hear people making these statements, that's really anti-Christ, because Christ does not operate like that. The reason I said I want to talk about discrimination, Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, all ye that work iniquity. So we see throughout the scriptures, I mean, they are totally replete with boundaries, walls, and gates. And of course, you know, people that don't know their Bible, when these antagonists make these statements, what would Jesus do? We should bring them in. And there's always a balance. You know, Matthew 25. Jesus said, I was naked, you clothed me, hungry, you fed me, prison, you visited me. They said, Lord, when have we done that unto you? He said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And there's a right way to do everything. But this is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity or lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I've never seen such a time when there's so much lawlessness, and, you know, God is using Donald Trump to bring back law and order. And I am amused, and it's really cynical to watch all these Christians attacking Donald Trump. You know, when I watch his wife open up the meeting in, I believe it was Florida, she opened up with the Lord's Prayer. I heard him make another statement the other day. He said, we have to have trust in one another and faith in God. And then last night he quoted a scripture. Now somebody had to do the research, because I know Donald Trump did not know this verse was in the Bible, so somebody had to do the research for him when he was speaking to the lady whose husband, the Navy SEAL, had been killed, and the thing they were working on there, and I believe it was Yemen.
Yeah, a Yemen raid.
Okay. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, that was in his speech. Now, he didn't say 1 John 3:16, but when I heard that, most people would equate that to John 15:13. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And greater love have no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. But that's not what he quoted. He quoted from 1 John, because he was speaking about the brotherhood in Christianity. That, you know, Christ was talking about how his love was so great, how he laid down his life for his friends. You know, but John says, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So I thought, wow, you know, I'm not being critical, I'm not being condescending or putting him down, but I know theologically he does not know that verse, but somebody in the cabinet knew that verse, or they did their research or whatever, to collect that verse and put it within his speech. And so when I watch all of these Christians casting their lot with witches and all the sodomites, and the liberals castigating the man, it shows you how there's such a spirit of antichrist in the true church today. I should say true church, but in the nominal church, you see that element of leaven working in our midst of those who are always on the tack and doing these things. And this is the spirit of antichrist. Now remember, Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. So, you know I'm rejoicing when I hear the First Lady pray the Lord's Prayer. I'm elated when I hear the President quote a Bible verse from 1 John 3:16. You know, I'm elated when he acknowledges God and asked the nation to pray for him that this job was greater than what he thought. And so, yes, God does discriminate in the sense if you expect to inherit eternal life, you have to go God's way. You know, Proverbs 14:12 said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I want to encourage the listeners tonight. Revival will start because our leadership begins to acknowledge God. We have been fasting. We have been praying. When I say we, all of us. I'm not just talking about me, my wife, or whoever. I'm talking about all of us, all the listeners who have been praying, have been fasting, have been crying out to God. And that's why I'm cautiously optimistic of how long this will last. Because more times than not, just like with Nineveh, when the king, remember, Jonah preached a message of repentance. Now, the king did not hear Jonah personally. The king got word that this was the message Jonah had preached. Jonah 3 and 6 says, "For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be published and proclaimed throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not?" And then the Bible says in verse 10, "And God saw their works." Now, I know that makes some people mad. I know works don't save you, but you have works because you are saved. "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." But it started with a preacher just preaching. But when the king heard the words that Jonah had preached, he made a decree. He had it published. "We're not going to eat. We're not going to drink. We're going to start fasting. We're going to start crying out to God. And let's see what God does." Of course, I think it was historically 70 or 80 years later, God ultimately destroyed Nineveh. But there was a reprieve because the people cried out to God, put on sackcloth and ashes. My point is, the revival will come in America when leadership that's in these strongholds of authority begin to acknowledge God. And that's why we can't afford to lose this momentum. If there's ever a time to really, I mean, dig in, press hard, pray, cry out to God, you know, support the Hagmans, everyone that's doing the right thing, get behind them, just stand for righteousness, we will begin to see God move. As I said, how long will it last? I don't know. But I know that God has given us an element of favor, an element of a reprieve. Look at all the people that prayed at the inauguration and closed their prayers in Jesus' name. I mean, when have we seen the like? It's been a long time, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time.
Good point. Yep. And isn't it funny, not funny, but isn't it something remarkable? Closing the prayer in Jesus' name evokes such a visceral response, such a hideous response, even at the level of the town hall meetings. When you, I don't know if you've seen some of the videos where one in particular, one town hall, congressman doing a town hall meeting prayed, that was upsetting. But when he closed the prayer in Jesus' name, there was shouts about or to Lucifer.
Yes.
So, you know, we're making some headway and we're causing this visceral response.
And also, on the other side, you know, you have the coming against the name of Jesus and praying in the name of Jesus, and, you know, this increased hatred towards God and the Bible and Christianity. But there was an article yesterday in LA Weekly, is a Trump presidency the satanic temple's chance to go mainstream? And it talks about an increasingly, now through Donald Trump's administration, these, they call them secularists, want to, are flocking to the satanic religion.
But they're not.
They're trying to drive it mainstream. Right. And not only that, they're trying to drive it mainstream. And this article goes on to talk about even a high school organization that has been trying to implement a satanic church group as an after-school activity. But I don't think it has anything to do with Donald Trump. I think it has to do with, you know, people flocking away from Jesus and from the Bible. And now we see that some of these disenfranchised people are moving right into the satanic religion. And it is being propped up as a secularist movement or whatever, but as they say, they're not aligned with any political parties and they don't worship Satan, as they say. But if you read up on what the Satanic Temple and what the Satanic Church is, they actually do worship Satan. But it's very concerning to see this rise and increase of people not only moving away and hating God and God's Word, but flocking towards the other side of the evil that is continuing to make a rise in our communities and our cultures. And we can see the spiritual fruits of darkness that continue to get its tentacles throughout our society. Folks, you're listening to Pastor David Langford from The Voice of Evangelism.com. We are up against our break, but when we come back, Pastor Langford will be with us for the rest of the hour, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report. Stay right there.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you could possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
New Year from all of us at Trading Post in the Woods.
We pray you have a healthy, safe, and prosperous 2017.
And we would like to thank all of you for welcoming us to the Hagman and Hagman family. You're all a very wonderful and special group of people.
Because we believe it is so important for you to work and acquire good health this year, we're going to do something that we've never done before as a thank you to you for your support. We're going to make something available that we believe everyone needs.
During the month of January, anyone who invests in their health by purchasing either our American Heritage Remedies Kit, our Survivalist Natural Remedies Kit, or $200 in individual remedies of your choice, we're going to give to you our crisis remedy, just in case, for free.
Your health must be a part of your preparation plan. We're here to help you with that journey. May God bless y'all, and may God bless America.
Happy New Year!
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes.
You keep on
That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Welcome back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are blessed every week to have Pastor David Langford, the voice of evangelism.com. Really, America's pastor, that's what I call him, and certainly our in-house pastor. He is such an amazing scriptorian. He's an amazing man with respect to the Bible. It's just to listen to him is, to me, a blessing. Before we get back to Pastor Langford, I want to remind everyone, visit preddefense.com. That is P-R-E-D, preddefense.com, pred-defense.com. I gotta tell you, when you are in a stressful situation, most people use shotguns, for example, to guard their home. Many law enforcement officers use shotguns. Shotguns have been around since the beginning of time. Well, Pred Defense has a great product that we personally use. In fact, the Mossberg, it fits on the Mossberg shotgun. It fits on all shotguns. And when you think about it, most people, even those in uniform, as I mentioned earlier, using shotguns for decades for things that go bump in the night. And it's an incredible firepower to have. But there's a kind of a flaw, if you even want to call it that, and that's reloading under pressure. Well, Pred Defense takes care of that for you. People have been trained on how to reload from a side saddle, but it takes precious time. And you usually end up taking your eyes off the target, focusing on the shell, plus you need fine motor skill for this task. We know that when your adrenaline is pumping, and it will be, we lose our fine motor skills. You need a way to rapidly get that fresh shell into the chamber using gross motor skills. Now you've got it. But you have to ask yourself, if your adrenaline is pumping, how can you truly get that fresh shell into the chamber proficiently? Pred Defense is the answer. I would encourage everybody, if you have a shotgun, I would encourage you to take a look at preddefense.com. That is P-R-E-D, defense.com. They have a patented solution that I think you'll appreciate. We use it. We endorse it 100%. Preddefense.com. And welcome to the Hagman and the Hagman family.
Our guest until the end of the show is Pastor David Langford from The Voice of Evangelism, voiceofevangelism.com, and on Blog Talk Radio, The Voice of Evangelism. Bookmark that to get his podcast and radio show. Where do you want to go from here, Pastor Langford?
Let me just say to Doug, I appreciate your wonderful comments and accolades, but I don't know that I can live up to that height and stature, Doug, but I do appreciate it. I'm humbled by what you say about being the pastor for the Hagman. I appreciate that immensely. You know, I was listening to Donald Trump the other day. He made numerous statements. I try to listen to what he says. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." And, you know, words are powerful. You know, Solomon said life and death is in the power of the tongue. But he made some statements the other day. He said, number one, there is no global flag. He said, there is no global currency. He said, I am the president of the United States, not another country or globalism. And you see, this is the exact opposite and tenor of the Antichrist and that spirit. This is what Obama, Clinton, all of these people, and Angela Merkel, all of them have been striving for globalism. This is what the devil wants, folks. And this is why you have to understand that God, for whatever reason, I believe because of the sincerity of the saints, he put this thing on pause. everyone wants power. In Luke chapter 4, verse 6, he's giving his account, like Matthew gave his account in Matthew 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Both Gospels are rephrased a little bit different, but Luke gives us a little something different in Luke 4, 6, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Well, this is why the devil is going to give the Antichrist this great power and this great authority. Well, how do we know that? We know that according to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. See, he says that he gives him this power in verse 2, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So, what Donald Trump is saying is the exact opposite of what the Antichrist will be saying. He says there's no global flag, there's no global currency. I'm the president of the United States. So Revelation 13:2 says the dragon, the devil, Satan, gives the man of sin, the Antichrist, his power, his seat, and great authority. Well, that's what he offered Jesus in Luke 4:6. He said, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. So Satan's going to give this power to some man. Now, we've all heard since Ronald Wilson Reagan was the Antichrist. You know, I marvel at everybody. Anytime somebody tells you somebody's the Antichrist, just mark them off. That those people are already lying to you because nobody knows who the Antichrist is. The reason I know that, he's called the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except to come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Jesus did not reveal who the son of perdition was until 24 hours before the crucifixion, when he described Judas Iscariot as the son of perdition, and he gave him the sop, John 13:27, and Satan entered into him. Now, Satan didn't personally enter into him, but the spirit of Satanism finally took control of his life, because Satan is an angel. He's a fallen angel, Lucifer. And so he finally gave over wholly. See, the devil was not going to possess Jesus in Luke 4:6. He was going to bestow this power, this satanic power, this authority that was given to him. How did he get it? By Adam's fall. That's how this power was given over to Satan. That's how we got it. The earth is still the Lord's. Psalms 24:1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all them that dwell therein. The earth is still the Lord's, but it's under a curse, and it's under demonic influence. That's why before Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1, the disciples said, when will you restore the kingdom back unto Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the season, but go to the city of Jerusalem and be endued with power from on high. So they know there's coming. They knew there was coming a time when the kingdom would be restored in the earth. And that's what they were focusing on. He said, no. That's not now. That's not relative. You go to Jerusalem. You stay there till you receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Because he said, you're going to have this power to fight this demonic power. Well, everyone in the political realm wants power. The Democrats want it. The Republicans want it. And the Islam, the Sunnis want it, the Shiites want it. You've always had this. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they've all wanted power. Well, it's the wrong kind of power. It's corrupt power that they're coveting. And, of course, the power that the Antichrist receives is a corrupt power. And where does he get that power from? He gets it from the devil. He gives him his seat, his power, and his great authority. So when I listen to Trump, I see the exact opposite of a man that's not trying to build a global system of sorts. He's pulling pulling back from that. He said there's no global flag, there is no global currency. Folks, that's telling you something. He would be against the Antichrist and against the spirit of Satanism and those who are seeking that kind of power. And as I said before the break, this is how we get our liberties down here at the grassroots, because Cyrus was anointed by God, not anointed to be a preacher, not anointed to be a prophet, but anointed in Isaiah 45:2, he was anointed for the purpose of being the one to allow Nehemiah, Ezra, them to go back to Jerusalem and to begin to rebuild. God, I believe, is giving us a rebuilding time. And I personally, you know, I turned 62 last week. I don't want to squander this opportunity from God. You know, Psalms 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need to be very judicious with what God has afforded us, because, as I said, God discriminates whether people like that idea or not. He discriminated between the five wise and the five foolish virgins. The five wise entered in. The door was shut. The five foolish came and knocked on the door. He said, depart from me. I know people don't like that kind of Bible teaching, but I didn't make the teaching. I didn't make up the rules. You know, this is God's doing. And this is where deception creeps in, that, you know, he's a God of love, grace. But wait a minute. He's also a God of justice and a God of judgment. You know, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Look at the fruit of a man's doings. Now, unless God were to open my eyes, I cannot see any man's heart. I'm not talking about his cardio heart. I'm talking about his spiritual heart. Because I do not know a man's heart, I then have to rely on the man's fruit. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits, in Matthew 7:15-16. But Jesus also said something, and I think I shared this some time ago, in Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Now, when you hear the First Lady publicly, that was a conflict of state and church, when she read the Lord's Prayer. But that tells me, if I had to judge her by her fruit, I'd say that's a good tree. When I hear him quoting 1 John 3:16, I have to look at the tree and say, that's a good tree, that's good fruit. Until I see something different, I cannot, you know, get on the bandwagon and start being negative. I see a lot of positive. You know, some people see the glass half full, some see it half empty. I want to see it according to the Word of God. Just how is it? I didn't make the rules. I didn't make the guidelines. I'm not the one said, you know, except you become born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. I didn't say that. God said that. Jesus said that. Jesus set the guidelines, and we have to go by those guidelines. And so this is why it is imperative today. I pled the blood of Jesus over Donald Trump. I asked God, according to Psalms 103, I said, God, command your angels to go forth and guard and protect the man, because these Satanists, and that's all these people are, these globalists are nothing but Satanists. They use the term globalist, but they're Satanists, because this is the spirit of Antichrist, to bring in a new world order and a one world government. I mean, that's the whole thing behind all of this. But he said in Psalms 103:20, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. And I said, God, give commandment to your angels to go and protect him. And I asked that the spirit of grace would guide him and order his steps. Because we all know, if Hillary Clinton had become the president, we would have been, there's just no telling how bad it would have gotten. And again, I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know what will be done. I just know he's a man. My faith is not in the man. My faith is in God. But, you know, Doug, you asked me a question last week about Israel. Did God put them there or did man put them there? My answer was both.
Yep.
You see, because you said it in the program a little bit ago, God is in control of everything. Psalm 75 and 7 says he pulls one down and he sets up another one. He does that. Yeah, we went to the ballot boxes and we voted, but I have to use a little bit of common sense here. What Donald Trump done was impossible. I mean, it was impossible. I mean, these people hate this man with a passion. And so when you look at who's hating him, be careful you don't cast your lot with those same people. You know, and I'm not bragging on the man. I'm not lauding the man. I'm not extolling the man. I just see God giving us an opportunity through the highest level of government in this nation, the presidency. And he did it with Cyrus. He did it with Pharaoh. He used Pharaoh to house, to clothe, to feed, and to grow a nation called Israel. And then in their exodus, he gave them the silver, the gold, and the fine linen. God did that, but a man did it too. See, Proverbs 21:1, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. God is doing it, but he's using a man to do it. You know, I preach the gospel. It's God's word, but I'm a man that's preaching his word. So it's both. It works on both parts. God's doing it. I'm doing my part. And so we all do our part. And that's why it's imperative that we don't become complacent right now or become apathetic and say, well, let's just go on and forget. You know, I think the stock market crossed 21,000 today. That's absurd.
Yeah, it did.
That's scary. You know?
That is scary.
I mean, it reminds me, I think it's done past the Nikkei now. I mean, you know, we used to see that thing up around 25 or 26,000. It was absurd. And so, you know, I think back to the Mark Taylor prophecy. Donald Trump would become president. He would appoint 5 Supreme Court justices, and the dollar would become the strongest currency in the world. Well, folks, we know as the dollar gets stronger, metals are going to go down. Now, there may be variations of that because of what is done in this economy in America and what he's able to accomplish as far as this first initiative of tax cuts, regulations, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I got to give Mark Taylor his credit for one thing. He said publicly the man would become president, and the man became president. That's fruit that bore witness that was not a lie. And now, will he be able to appoint 5 Supreme Court justices? I don't know. The dollar obviously has become stronger in the last little while, and the Dow is over 21,000. All of this is just total uncertainty to me. You know, this is why our faith, our hope, and our trust must remain in God and not a man. But let me tell you, when God is using a man, I'm going to ride the wave. When Moses' hands were lifted up by Aaron and Hur, Joshua was able to defeat the Amalekites. And he rode the wave. It was a spiritual wave by Moses' hands being lifted up. He was able to ride the wave in the natural by defeating those Amalekites, but it was really because of the spiritual wave that Moses was riding when Hur and Aaron held his hands up. And when his hands became heavy and fell down, Joshua began to lose the battle. And my reason for saying that is if we will pray for this man and ask God to hold his hands up, let's see where God takes. We've had enough bad. You know, it didn't dawn on me till I heard him say the other day, we spent $6 trillion since George Bush in the Middle East. $6 trillion. We could have built this nation over, he said, almost 3 times.
Yep.
Is that astounding or what, Doug?
It certainly is.
Because what's been accomplished over there, nothing but more turmoil and chaos, and more countries falling into war.
And the accounting of that money. I'd like to see an accounting of that.
Oh, I remember when they were sending the $100 bills by pallet loads to Iraq.
Yeah.
Y'all remember that?
Yeah, one accidentally fell off in my backyard.
Doug, you better be careful, bro. They'll be over there looking for it.
Yeah, that's true. I take that back.
Yeah, I'm not rebuking you, but...
no, rebuke away. That's true.
But, you know, that's how cynical this stuff is. But there was a reason behind all of this. I'm telling you, folks, we were at breakneck speed in globalism, and all of a sudden, it stopped or paused for a reason. And, you know, if God were to give me more insight, I'd be the first to share it, tell you. I'll tell you why. I don't know if it's because our children need to be saved. We need to see some things happen, because the Bible said in Hebrews 6:10, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints, and you do minister. Every time you support the Hagmans or me or any other ministry, and every time you pray and every time you fast and every time you go to the Bible, you know, you're talking about that DVD before the program, Doug. My wife and I watched the whole book of Proverbs tonight before I went on the air. 31 chapters. We watched it. And it was astounding to listen as Alexander Scorby read that, and he's talking about wisdom. There were so many chapters contiguously talking about wisdom, how precious it was, how costly it was. With all your wisdom, you know, get understanding. And I just kept listening to it, because you're reading it on the screen and you're hearing it. And so it has two ways to get into your spirit, through your auditory system or through your visualization. And I was just, and God knows how many times I've read the book of Proverbs, but it looked different this time about wisdom. And, you know, let's face it, this nation and its leadership has lacked wisdom. You know, wisdom, as my grandpa used to tell me, son, it's just mere common sense. It's horse sense. It's stable thinking. And wisdom is the ability to execute or communicate your knowledge. That's what wisdom allows you to do. Wisdom is like empirical knowledge. It's experience. You know to be quiet. You know to say something, or you know to just be still and don't do anything. There's a verse in the Old Testament, I believe it's in the book of 1 Samuel. He's admonishing a man to be as still as a rock. You know, a rock is very still. You know, if it's sitting on the ground, it won't move unless there's an earthquake. And sometimes we need to be as still as a rock. And don't move, don't do anything. You know, Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. And there's a time to work, a time to pray, a time to fast, there's a time to be still, there's a time to listen. There's a time to build, there's a time to plant, there's a time to harvest. You know, this is an unusual time. And people have been seeking God. I thought about the 80s so much because Ronald Reagan became the president. He declared the Bible to be the book of the year in 1984, and the churches were booming in the 80s. I know I was a part of it. I was preaching all over the United States, and I took my first church in 1986. We grew exponentially, but then we had the two debacles with the two ministers who failed that had the public's eye unbelievably. And my fear is, we can't handle a blessing. We can't handle prosperity. You know, Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8 and 9, he said, Lord, he said, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? You know, the church at Laodicea is rich, it's increased with goods, and it says it has need of nothing. This could be a great time of blessing on this nation. But the problem is, just like with Israel, when God blesses, They turned their back on God. He sent leanness into their soul. They didn't seek his counsel. They didn't seek his wisdom. Read Psalms 106 tonight if you want to before you go to bed, about how that they didn't wait on God's direction, how they lusted, how they tempted God. It says he gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their souls. I don't want to abuse this blessing. I want to embrace this blessing with humility. I think we all need to be humble. We need to be strong. We need to be determined. Our foreheads need to be like flint and not balk, not roll over and play dead. But as Paul said in Ephesians 6:10, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. this is where we have to be right now, strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we can do whatever needs to be done if we acknowledge God. And I appreciate Melania and him at least acknowledging the word of God. God will honor that.
Yeah, and, you know, again, we see the pushback against that. You mentioned that Melania's prayer earlier. We saw, you know, the media, some of the media taking her to task for what she was reading, how she was reading it. And yesterday, Pastor, the State of the Union address, with our last guest, Josh Kaplan, we talked about some of the headlines that came out of there from especially the more unifying ones where we had media outlets that constantly attacked Trump and his policies from CNN to MSNBC talk about how Donald Trump yesterday became more presidential and, you know, how he made his mark and was very succinct and gave a good message across the board. Do you see a possibility for some type of unification between the two parties?
Not really, because this is the devil's crowd, and they're not going to give up this ground. I would love to see reconciliation. There's no doubt about it. We need it terribly bad. But these people hate him with a passion. And why do they hate him so bad? Because he's standing for righteousness. Now, you heard me say this. What does righteousness mean? The first five letters, R-I-G-H-T, just do the right thing. He is nothing more than a man. He's just trying to do the right thing. Will he succeed? Only as much as we pray for him and ask God to cover him and the people work with him. But I don't see them cooperating. It wouldn't shock me if he is just a one-term president. He could be a two-term president, but as soon as he's out, I can see the liberal mindset. We're blessed, everything's going good, and the heck with God and Christianity, and back to our old ways. And that's what Israel did, was called backsliding. They slid backwards back into their old paganism, worshiping the heathen gods and embracing their doctrines. And, you know, just like Trump said last night, Islam, we got to eradicate ISIS. You're hearing things said that's not politically correct. The guy has not been groomed to be a president. I mean, his speech, like Peter, betrays him. You know, he doesn't speak with political correctness. I mean, these guys amaze me when they can be hit out of the blue out of a question and how they can diffuse that question in a half a second. And it's like, you know, you're waiting for some smackdown and it's just diffused because they're politicians. They're smooth talkers. And, you know, you can hit them with your best shot and they'll diffuse that thing because they're groomed psychologically. I believe it's demon possession more than anything else, but psychologically they're groomed to diffuse that question and move it off and compartmentalize it and change the topic. You know, why? You know, because of political correctness.
It would be certainly great if we had farmers, blue-collar workers, factory workers in Congress.
Yeah.
Most of these professional politicians, how refreshing would that be? Pastor, you've closed out the program.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for your gift of time, gift of knowledge, and information and inspiration, as we call it.
Well, thank you so much. Everyone have a blessed week, and do pray for our president.
Amen to that.
Everybody have a great week. God bless you all.
Thank you, sir. Pastor David Langford, thevoiceofevangelism.com. Visit his website, folks. I'll be on Alex Jones tomorrow, 2 o'clock.
Yeah,
InfoWars, 2 o'clock. And, at least that's the time right now. That's my understanding. So,
until tomorrow?
Yeah, and please subscribe to our YouTube channel, please. Thank you.
Until tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Have a great evening.